So we come to the sermon now. So if you turn with me to Numbers and chapter 18, Numbers chapter 18. We're carrying on our series through this precious book. And before I read this to you, let me just pray for us quickly. Our Father in heaven, we so desperately need your help always. And so we pray for your help right now, that you'd give us your Holy Spirit, that he would open our eyes to behold the glory and the wonders of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom you are so well glorified. Father, spare us the temptation and the foolishness of relying on ourselves, and show us Jesus in these scriptures, we pray, that we might be encouraged and built up in our faith by him. Tease from our hearts, we ask, faith, hope, and love towards the Lord Jesus Christ, and for the sake of our brothers and sisters in him. Amen. Numbers and chapter 18. Then the Lord said to Aaron, "You and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear the iniquity related to the sanctuary, and you and your sons bear the iniquity associated with your priesthood. Also bring with you your brethren of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of your father, that they may be joined with you and serve you while you and your sons are with you before the tabernacle of witness. They shall attend to your needs and all the needs of the tabernacle, but they shall not come near the articles of the sanctuary and the altar, lest they die, they and you also. They shall be joined with you and attend to the needs of the tabernacle of meeting, for all the work of the tabernacle, but an outsider shall not come near you. And you shall attend to the duties of the sanctuary and the duties of the altar, that there may be no more wrath on the children of Israel. Behold, I myself have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. They are a gift to you, given by the Lord, to do the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Therefore, you and your sons with you shall attend to your priesthood for everything at the altar and behind the veil, and you shall serve. I give your priesthood to you as a gift for service, but the outsider who comes near shall be put to death." And the Lord spoke to Aaron, "Here I myself have also given you charge of my heave offerings. All the holy gifts of the children of Israel, I have given them as a portion to you and your sons as an ordinance forever. This shall be yours of the most holy things reserved from the fire. Every offering of theirs, every grain offering, and every sin offering, and every trespass offering which they render to me, shall be most holy for you and your sons. In a most holy place you shall eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy to you. This also is yours, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I have given them to you and your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance forever. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. All the best of the oil, all the best of the new wine and the grain, their first fruits which they offer to the Lord, I have given them to you. Whatever first ripe fruit there is in their land which they bring to the Lord shall be yours. Everyone who is clean in your house may eat it. Every devoted thing in Israel shall be yours. Everything that first opens the womb of all flesh, which they bring to the Lord, whether man or beast, shall be yours. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man you shall surely redeem, and the firstborn of unclean animals you shall redeem. And those redeemed of the devoted things you shall redeem when 1 month old, according to your valuation. For 5 shekels of silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. But the firstborn of a cow, the firstborn of a sheep, or the firstborn of a goat, you shall not redeem. They are holy. You shall sprinkle their blood on the altar and burn their fat as an offering made by fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. And their flesh shall be yours, just as the wave breast and the right thigh are yours. All the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer to the Lord, I have given to you and to your sons and daughters with you as an ordinance forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord with you and your descendants with you. Then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land, nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Hereafter, the children of Israel shall not come near the tabernacle of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall perform the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. For the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer up as a heave offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites as an inheritance. Therefore I have said to them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak thus to the Levites and say to them, when you take from the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them as your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it to the Lord, a tenth of the tithe. And your heave offering shall be reckoned to you as though it were the grain of the threshing floor and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus you shall offer a heave offering to the Lord from all your tithes which you receive from the children of Israel. And you shall give the Lord's heave offering from it to Aaron, the priest. Of all your gifts, you shall offer up every heave offering due to the Lord from the best of them, the consecrated part of them. Therefore you shall say to them, when you have lifted up the best of it, then the rest shall be accounted to the Levites as the produce of the threshing floor and as the produce of the winepress. You may eat it in any place, you and your households, for it is your reward for your work in the tabernacle of meeting. And you shall bear no sin because of it when you have lifted up the best of it, but you shall not profane the holy gifts of the children of Israel, lest you die. So we're carrying on our series in the book of Numbers. We come to chapter 18 here. And if you can remember, chapter 16 and 17, those chapters stressed so strongly, didn't they, in no uncertain terms at all, that the only way to the living God is through his high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way to God. And so it's no surprise to find when we turn to chapter 18, that it cements down that truth and fills in all the cracks. It is a chapter that is full of grace and full of reassurance to us that we may and indeed we must come to God the Father through none but Jesus. Jesus Christ is going to be lifted up for us this evening in Numbers 18 as the first recipient of all the Father has to give. And from Jesus Christ, and only from Jesus Christ, is everything that God has to give shared to the rest of us and to the world who would come to Jesus for all that God has to give. My first point for you then is Christ alone. There's an emphasis in Numbers 18, isn't there, on the unique role and position of the high priest. You see in verse 1, the consequences associated with the tabernacle and with the priesthood and all of that is the exclusive responsibility of Aaron, the high priest. But doesn't verse 1 imply that there's more people there in that? It's not just Aaron, it's his family as well, and even the Levites. That's a lot of people, not just Aaron. Well, if you read the context there, verses 1 to 7, it clarifies things for us a bit. What's going on here is that all the tribe of Levi was to help the high priest in executing his duties. And his sons are especially tied into this and lined up for that, to help him. But the work of the high priest was absolutely exclusive to him. No one else could do what the high priest alone does. See there in verse 3, they shall attend to your needs and all the needs of the tabernacle, but they shall not come near the articles of the sanctuary and the altar, lest they die, they and you also. And also in verse 5, and you, Aaron, you shall attend to the duties of the sanctuary and the duties of the altar, that there may be no more wrath on the children of Israel. See, we're being shunted down only one way into the holiest of holies, only one way that we can be represented to God, and that is through his high priest, Aaron, who stands in for Jesus Christ. This is a picture for us of how the Father has entrusted salvation exclusively to Jesus. Only he has to do with the blood. Only he has to do with our guilt. Only Jesus has to do with the sacrifice that covers sin. There is no one else pinned to the cross. There is no one else who carries anyone else's blood into the Father's presence. There is no other blood and no other body spread on this table in front of us this evening but that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only Jesus is our way in. You see, let me read this to you from Hebrews and chapter 9. Hebrews has a lot to say about this, actually. I almost read Hebrews 9 earlier, but we read 1 Peter 2 instead. Hebrews 9, there's many verses we could turn to, but listen to this from Hebrews 9, verses 11 to 14. Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Before God the Father, at this very instant, right in the front of his vision, is none other but the man Christ Jesus, the very Son of God, and it is his blood alone which he offers to the Father and shows the Father. It's his blood alone which avails for us, none but Jesus. And the church, the family of Christians, is safe only in and through him. And a similar point to this is made in verses 8 to 19 of Numbers 18, when the Lord gives all these sacrifices that the church is making, he gives them all to Aaron, to the high priest. And for what purpose? Did you notice? He gives them all to him for what? Reading. He gives all these sacrifices to Aaron for him to eat them, him and his family. It's shared out to his family, but the gift is for him, the high priest. You see, he alone is designated by God as the one who stands between God and men. And so the sacrifices belong to him. Think of it this way. Time machine, back in time, Numbers 18, you're there. And you bring a sacrifice to the tabernacle, and you bring it along with you. And it is a symbol, this animal. It is a symbol of you and of your sins. And it is going to be killed on the altar, and its blood is to be shed, a picture of what you have earned by your sins. And when it dies, you are spared, and your sins are taken away. That's the idea. And it is a gift exclusively to the Lord. So you bring this animal. It stands for you and your sins, and it is a gift for the Lord. That's what it means. And when you bring it to the high priest, he kills it, and he eats some of it. What does that say to you when you see that? When you see that you've brought this animal that stands there for you and for your sins, and it's a gift to the Lord, and then the high priest eats some, what does that mean? The high priest is taking into himself, part of himself, that sacrifice which symbolizes who we are and what we have done in our sins and what we have earned by our guilt. He eats the food which is an offering only for God. And so the high priest is clearly standing in the middle. As God's representative, he eats what is only God's food, a gift for him. And as our representative, he is taking all of our sins into himself. And that which represents us and our sinfulness goes into him and part of him now. This is a picture of how God the Father has entrusted our salvation exclusively to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the church family here in Numbers 18 can say, just as we do today of the high priest, that only he represents the Father to us. Only he gobbles up our sins into himself. Only he stands in the middle. Only through him can we offer ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. We read earlier from 1 Peter and chapter 2, verse 5 of that lovely chapter says this: "You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. You are being built up as a holy priesthood, so that you can offer up spiritual sacrifices which are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ and no other way." So here's your first point then: Christ alone. Christ alone. Next, we've got help for the high priest. How would you have liked to have been the high priest? You've got to wear silly clothes all your life. You can't leave the tabernacle. All of your children, they have no ambitions. They have no sort of other career prospects. All of your sons are now, they're in this job. And you've got millions of people to see to, burdens to bear, sacrifices to make. No one else can do it, only you, at the risk of your life all the time. It's hard. It's impossible. There's so much to do. The high priest has these needs then that he needs seen to. And so the Lord gives to his high priest all that he needs to do his exclusive work of making sacrifices which cover the sins of the church. He gives to Aaron then the Levites in verses 2 to 3 and verse 6. He gives the Levites to him to help him. He gives him food so he doesn't have to worry about that. "This food is for you," he says. He makes sure he's sorted out. And he gives him a tithe as well in verses 21 to 24. All of his needs now are met so that he can do this job. This is a picture for us and is fulfilled in the Gospels when the Father gives to Jesus Christ all that he needs to do his work in making the sacrifice which covers our sins. The Father gave Jesus his daily bread. He kept him safe. He empowered him to make that sacrifice for us. And specifically, the scriptures tell us some things that the Father has given to Jesus to enable him to do his job. He gives him the Holy Spirit. You might remember Isaiah 42, "Behold, my servant, my elect one, I have put my Spirit on him so that he can do his job." Luke 4:18, Jesus stands up and he reads from Isaiah and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, so that I can do this work that he's given me to do." The Father also gives to Jesus these disciples. In Mark 3, it says that Jesus chose these disciples so that they could be with him. And then he sends them out to help him to do his work. He says, "Go into all the world, making disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you." And even to today, the Father is giving Jesus what he needs to do his job. And he gives his ministers to Jesus Christ. So that the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, we, speaking of those given by God to the Lord for his work, we are his fellow laborers. The Father is seeing to all of Jesus' needs so that he can do this amazing work that the Father's given him to do. And it's not just all them. Do you know you're included in this as well? In Revelation 1, the church triumphant sings, "He has made us kings and priests to God." We are gifts to the Lord Jesus from the Father so that Jesus can do his amazing work in the world. I don't know if you've thought of yourself like that before. The Holy Spirit has put a bow around you and he's wrapped you up. He's given you to the Lord Jesus Christ so that he can do his amazing work in this world and in this church. You are a gift to the Lord so that he can bring his will on earth, bring his kingdom to bear so that his work can be effective here. We are now priests, counted as Levites, servants of Jesus, our high priest. And so we get to help him. We get to help him by bringing the gospel around the world with missionaries. We point people, our friends, our family, and our neighbors to his blood, which avails for us. We pray to the Father to give the Holy Spirit with Jesus' gospel as it is preached, that it might build up his kingdom. And we serve him in our lives, in our families, in our church, all for the sake of his doings. We're helping Jesus to bring his work to bear on earth, that his will may be done here as it is in heaven, that his kingdom would come. It is only his work, but he has been given all these things by the Father to help him. Right, Christ alone, the Father's given him all this help to do this work that only he does. And then lastly, everyone's sharing. I don't know if you noticed that as we went through the chapter, how much giving and taking is going on. In verse 6, the whole tribe of Levi is taken by the Lord and given to the high priest. In verse 7, the priesthood is given to the high priest so that they can serve and give back to the Lord and to the church. In verse 8 to 19, all of these sacrifices are given to the Lord, and then he gives them to the high priest so that he can give it to his family. In verse 20, the Lord gives himself to his priests, to the Levites. In verse 21 to 24, the Lord takes all the tithes that the children of Israel give him, the church gives him, and he gives them to Levi. And then in verse 25 and 32, Levi takes these tithes from the church and gives the best of it to the Lord. There's this sort of swirl of gifts flying around in the chapter as everyone is receiving and giving, taking and sharing. What's happening here is that the church is constantly bringing its offerings to the tabernacle. Through the high priest, the church gives these offerings to the Lord. The Lord takes these offerings and gives them to his high priest, who takes these offerings from the Lord, says, "Thank you very much," and shares it with his family, Levi, and the whole church. We're being taught here in Numbers 18 that the relationship between the church family and the Lord is one marked by liberal generosity. All that we are given by the Lord, we take. We say, "Thank you, Lord," and then we share it with one another. And in every single case, all the way through this chapter and in our own lives now, while the gifts that we give and take are very good, they are never cherished over the giver. Do you notice that? The Lord loves to receive our gifts, but he loves us more. The Son is glad to receive all that he needs from the Father, but he loves him more. We are so glad to receive from the Son and from one another. Because we love the Son, we love Jesus, and we love one another more than all of these gifts. I don't know if you've got at home any bits of rubbish that some child has given you. I was thinking about Griff. You might come up to me with a rock or something. "Dad, this is for you, this rock. What am I going to do with a rock?" I keep it safe. I put it on my shelf, and I treasure it. Because I love him so much, even when he gives me little bits of rubbish, I love them because it's a gift from my little boy. And we have that in our lives. Even little gifts that are in themselves meaningless, we love one another so much that the gifts we give each other. In church, we are to share all the gifts which the Lord has given to us. That means hospitality, having people around your house and feeding them and being kind. It means food. That we give and share food here in the church and in our homes as well. It means our money. We share our money around and give to people as they need. It means prayer. We pray for people. The Lord has given us a gift to pray. And so we get to do that for one another. It also means our families. If you've got no children, you can come to church and we'll share our children. If you miss your spouse, your brothers, your sisters, your parents, you can come to church and we share our family with each other. The Lord is so kind, and so now we are being generous, and we are being kind. Numbers 18 teaches us this swirl of generosity and sharing. In Acts 4 and verse 32, it says, "So the Holy Spirit came upon the church in those days, and not a single one of our brothers and sisters in those early days counted any of their possessions to be their own, but they considered all things in common, and they shared." You'll have probably noticed that when the world shares things, there are usually strings attached. Not always, but usually strings attached. And so when we give or take gifts in the world, we worry. We worry about the quality of the gift. Oh, is it good enough? About the disposition of the giver or the receiver or the motive behind it. Will they be offended? Will they mind? Is it too much or is it too little? But in the church, we have been given to love one another so much more than the gifts that we give and receive. We are liberated from all of those concerns. I'll give you an example. We have a brother in the Lord in Moldova. His name is Sergei. And he lives his whole life in a wheelchair. He can't walk. He can hardly speak. And I'm telling you the truth, he's completely poverty-stricken. He has nothing to his name. But if you go and meet him, he has a few things on his wheelchair. He has an audio Bible, which I gave him once upon a time when I met him. And he has a little collection of toy cars, which he has managed to pick up as he goes around. And that's virtually all he's got to his name. When I met Sergei and I gave him that audio Bible, he reached down into his bag of treasures and he gave me this little broken toy. Now, the gifts that we gave each other were so meager. But because we treasured one another in the Lord, these gifts became treasures to one another as well. And there was no fear in giving or receiving and wondering how it would be taken or received because of the love that he gives between us. Even in the church, it can be hard sometimes to give and to receive because of our self-doubt. We don't want to offend people. We don't want to make people feel that they might be indebted to us. We don't want to make people feel like they're a charity case. We don't want to give a gift that's too small or too big. But the love of God poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit can set us free from all of that, so that like in Numbers 18, we hardly consider our possessions our own and we share. What the Lord has given to us, we share with others as well. The gifts that are given here in Numbers 18 aren't just things, are they, though? They're people. The high priest was given to Israel. The Levites were given to the high priest. You know, Psalm 68, you can look it up when you go home, says that when Jesus ascended back to our Father, he received gifts from men. He took his people with him. And so now the Bible says we are sat down with him in the heavenly places. He took us with him. When Ephesians 4 looks at Psalm 68, it says exactly the opposite. It teaches us that in the ascension, Jesus Christ didn't just receive people, but he showered gifts of people onto his church. God the Father has taken us as individuals and has given us into the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved. And Jesus, in his loving generosity, doing what his Father has always shown him what to do, he gives us to the world and to one another in the church. When we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we include in that, "Lord, give me as a gift to the church and to the world in the name of Jesus. Give me to share the treasures of heaven which you have crammed into Jesus Christ and into me." I don't know if you're used to thinking of yourself so highly as the Bible says to. I don't know if you're used to thinking of yourself in such a self-sacrificial way as the Bible tells you. If I put it to you like this, go home remembering this, right? Numbers 18 teaches you that you have a lot to give. And there's two sides to that. You have a lot. The Lord has given you so much. He has given you specifically gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he has given you to this family and to this church and this community and this world in this place and time. He has given you a lot. And he's given you a lot to give. And we've got to reckon with that when we read verses like Numbers 18. That we have so much to give to one another and in the church in the name of Jesus. All right, I'll leave it there, okay? I'll leave it there. There's Numbers 18 for us. It lifts up Jesus Christ as God's designated funnel of life and generosity in this world. We have no hope besides him. The Father has given him all that he needs to execute his ministry on our behalf. And as we trust Jesus, we are filled with all that he has, all that he has to give us, that he has received himself from the Father. And we find ourselves overflowing with his supply so that we can enrich others and enrich even the world in which we live. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the designation of Jesus Christ as your great high priest over heaven and earth. We thank you that we are safe when we come to you through him, safe and blessed and happy. We thank you, Father, for cramming all of the riches of heaven into him and for giving him a spirit of such generosity like yourself, the same as yourself, that we are enriched by him and his generosity. Father, we pray that you should give us his spirit of generosity, that we would learn that we have so much to give. Teach us, Father, to think so highly of ourselves as your scripture would have us. And teach us, Father, to think so self-sacrificially about all the gifts that you've given to us as the scriptures would have us. Thank you, Lord, for the great honor it is to be called a Christian. Jesus Christ, please, Lord, we pray, help us to do this for Jesus' sake. Amen.